Man, give Jesus a praise tonight.
Amen.
You guys could go. Thank you. Let's give our worship team a hand. Aren't they awesome? Amen. You guys are ready. All right, let me just open up with the scripture. The scripture I'm going to open up with is Jeremiah 29:13, and it says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Let's pray. Father God, Lord, tonight we thank you. We praise you, God. We feel your presence here, God. I pray that right now, God, that you would speak through me, God, and we just give the rest of the service to you. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give someone a high five and you could have your seat. All right, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Give me an amen when you get there. All right, a couple people are there. Mark 6, 48. Amen. I just got a text from Cisco. He said that somebody say, amen. I got a text from Cisco. He said he just went to the doctor today. He has no bone infection. Come on. Let me know God is good. Amen. So Mark chapter 6, verse 48 through 51, it says, "Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' Then he went up into the boat, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled." So here, I'm going to scoot this pulpit up a little bit. Here we see Jesus was walking on the water. How many of you guys ever walked on the water? You guys are liars. Never walked on the water. I'm just kidding. So Jesus walks out onto the water. And right before this, if you read your Bible, the chapter before, he had just got done feeding the 5,000. He said he had fed 5,000. He had 5 loaves, 2 fish. He prayed over them. He broke them. And he passed it and everybody ate. It's a pretty good meal, right? If all of us could eat off of 5 loaves and 2 fish, that would be pretty awesome, right? But imagine 5,000 men plus their wives and the kids fed all them. So you see, at this time, the disciples had just seen Jesus do this awesome miracle. They had witnessed Jesus feed the 5,000, and they should have been on this supernatural high, right? You guys ever seen God do a miracle? I don't know if you heard Mark, but he said he was healed of a disease, right? Let me say that again. He said he was healed of a disease. That is a miracle. I know there's some people in this place that have been healed of hepatitis, that have been delivered from drugs, that have been set free. Come on, those are miracles, right? Even our salvation is a miracle because Satan wanted us dead, right? And so they had just witnessed Jesus doing this miracle, feeding the 5,000. And then here we come to this story. And we're going to kind of just break this this portion of scripture down tonight. So the first thing, I have like 6 little points. They're not necessarily points, but we're going to go through 6 things. That's 3 more than I usually do, so we'll be good. The first thing is Jesus sees us when we're struggling. I'm going to tell your neighbor, Jesus sees us when we're struggling. How many know that when we go through things, Jesus sees us, right? It says in that first part of that scripture, it says, "Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them." So Jesus had seen the disciples. It said right before that, it says that he had fed the 5,000. And he said he sent the disciples ahead. He went up to the mountains to pray. And then it said when he was alone on the shore, on the land, he looked out and he seen that the disciples were straining at rowing. They were going through this storm, right? And it seemed like there was no hope. It seemed like they were just struggling. And I want to let you know tonight that it doesn't matter what we're facing, that Jesus is right there with us in the midst of our struggles, right? He sees us going through the storm. There's a story in Daniel chapter 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were there and they were getting persecuted because they refused to bow to King Nebuchadnezzar's statue. King Nebuchadnezzar had set up a law that every time the music would play, you have to bow and worship this statue. And Daniel, Meshach, and Shadrach, they refused to bow, right? And Jesus, they were going through a storm, right? They were going through the fire. They were going through a literal fire, right? They got thrown in the fiery furnace. And this is a scripture that in Daniel 3:25, it says, "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking around in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." How many know that when we're going through a fire, we're going through a trial, we're going through a storm, we're going through something hard on our lives, that Jesus is right there with us? It says that as they were thrown in the fiery furnace, there was four men in there. They only threw three in there, but how many know that Jesus walked them through the fire? And I'm here to let you know tonight that when we go through stuff, that Jesus is right there with us. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is right there with us. The second thing tonight is Jesus was the one that sent them ahead. So let's go back to that portion. It says, actually, it's a little bit before in 6:45. It says, "Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida, where he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up to the hills by himself to pray." So Jesus knew, Jesus knows what's going to happen, right? God knows what's going to happen in your life. God knows, God doesn't live in a time like we live where we wake up and we go through our day. God knows what's going to happen in our future, right? It says that he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He knows everything, right? So Jesus sent them ahead. Jesus was the one that sent them into the storm. And how many of you know that Jesus allows us to go through things and there's a reason for it? How many of you know that when we go through storms and we go through things, it's to grow us? Let me say that again. When we go through storms, it's to grow us. How many of you guys like to go through storms and like to have hard times? I heard one person say, yeah. Jesus knew what they were going to face, and he still sent them that way. You would think that as the disciples, they had just witnessed Jesus do these miracles. You would think as they went through this next storm that they would be ready, right? Oh, Jesus just fed the 5,000. If he could do that, he could do anything, right? But they get through this storm, and they get caught up looking at the storm, and they get caught up through this hard time. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." That scripture, it doesn't say if you face them, it says when you face them. So how many know that we are going to face some trials, right? How many of you guys are going through a trial right now? How many of you guys have faced some trials this year, right? We went through some stuff. Sometimes Satan tries to hit our finances. He tries to hit our health. He tries to hit our families. He tries to hit our relationships. But how many of you know that even though we go through things, God's got a plan in it? God's got a plan in our storms. It says the testing of faith produces patience, which when it has its work, makes us perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The storms are there to grow us. And how many know Jesus doesn't cause us to go through bad things? That's caused by sin. It's caused by the world that we live in. But how many know that Jesus uses those things to grow us? The Bible says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things, all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." God uses what we go through to grow us. God loves you way too much to let you stay where you're at. God loves you way too much to let you be comfortable. If you're comfortable, I don't think that's God. That's somebody else messing with you, right? If you're comfortable, it's time to get up and to rise up and take your place, right? The third thing I see in this passage, it says that Jesus came to them. It says when he saw them from the land, that he came to them. in Psalms 34:17, it says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Jesus came to them. And I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm struggling or I'm going through a trial or I'm getting hit financially or I'm getting hit, however I'm getting hit, I know that Jesus comes to me. I know that Jesus is there for me when I need him. You guys know that Jesus is there for you when you go through things? It says that Jesus, he saw them and he went to them. When we're struggling, God is near. When we're going through it, God's right there for us. He's within our reach, and it's our responsibility to go out and get him. Let me say that again. It's our responsibility to go out and get him. I remember hearing a preacher one time. He called an altar call, and then he said, "I don't want nobody to pray for anybody because nobody can get you to God. It's your responsibility to get to God." And how many of you know that sometimes we go looking for a preacher that's anointed, or we come looking and say, "Oh, if I could just get prayed for by this person." But all God is saying is, "Just come and get me. I'm here for you." That scripture that I started with in Jeremiah 29 says, "You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." That doesn't mean when you seek me a little bit. That means when you seek me with all of your heart. So if we want to seek God, or when we're going through something, when we seek God, we'll find him when we go after him. Right? We'll find him when we go after him. The fourth thing I see is we got to get God's attention. So it says Jesus came to them at 3 a.m. It was during the fourth watch of the night. And the disciples had seen him and they were afraid because they thought it was a ghost. So Jesus came closer and revealed it was him. He got on the boat, right? And the wind stopped. The wind ceased. And what this tells me is that we got to be on the watch for God. We got to be on the lookout for Jesus, and we can't be so focused on the storm that we aren't looking for Jesus. The verse that that passage, it said something that I never heard before. It says he had went to them, and then it says, and he would have passed them by. In another version, it says, and he intended to go by them. And that got me thinking. I was like, it said Jesus saw them. They were in need and he went to them. But then the next part of the scripture says, and he would have passed them by. He intended to pass them by. And so I started thinking, what does this mean? I thought Jesus saw their need and he went to them, right? But his intentions was just to pass them by. So I looked up some commentary. I looked in my Bible. I looked in my commentaries and I was reading. One person said, well, if Jesus would have passed them by walking on water, it would have led them right to the shore, right? So that was one commentary. Another commentary said that if Jesus walked by and they seen him, that they would have the faith to keep going, right? But what God showed me is that when Jesus passed by them, it said that they feared. They saw him, but they were out on the fourth watch, right? It said they were out on the fourth watch at 3 o'clock in the morning. And how many know that that's a time that some of us are asleep, right? How many guys awake at 3 o'clock? How many guys work graveyard? 1, 2, someone throws a paper route. Don't miss the paper routes. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, they were on watch. They were looking out. And how many know that we need to be on watch for Jesus? That when we're going through trials or we're in the middle of our storms, that we got to take our eyes off the storm and start looking for Jesus. We need to get Jesus' attention. It said that they thought it was a ghost and they were afraid, but they still got his attention. Let me know that when we're going through the storms, it's not easy. I don't know if you guys think it's easy when you get hit. It's not easy. Sometimes we physically, we mentally, whatever, we start to fear. But it says they were fearful, but they still got Jesus' attention. How many know that when Satan tries to bring fear in your life, that's the time you got to go straight to God and get his attention? The Bible says that he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. When Satan tries to throw that on you, turn it back and say, no, Satan, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but God's given me a spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. They were in complete darkness. The sea was, they were battling the sea, the waves. They were battling the waves and the wind. They were fearful for their lives, but they got God's attention. It reminds me of a man in the Bible who was very short. Anybody know who I'm going to talk about? Zacchaeus, however you want to say it. Zacchaeus was this little short dude, right? He was like a little guy. And then he heard that Jesus was going to be coming through. And since he was so short, he couldn't see through the crowd. So he was looking, trying to find Jesus. But since he was such a shorty, he couldn't see Jesus. So what he did is he ran ahead. He climbed up a sycamore tree. And as Jesus passed by, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus in a tree. He probably thought, what is this guy doing in the tree? But he got Jesus' attention. And how many know that when you need to get a hold of Jesus, you need to do whatever you can to get his attention? If you got to climb a tree, you better climb a tree. If you got to go to an all-night prayer night, you better go to an all-night prayer night. If you need to get in your word and seek him till you find something, you better do it. Zacchaeus did what he had to do to get God's attention. And I think sometimes when we're going through the storm, we try to go get the attention of somebody else. Oh, what can Facebook tell me? What can my best friend tell me? What can this tell me? And they're not even Christian friends. They're just whatever. Friends that'll, oh, I'm sorry. It's so sad that you're going through that. Instead of someone that said, you know what? Let's pray. Let's get together. Let's seek God. Let's go to God for an answer. We need to seek God like Zacchaeus and get his attention and find him. Our trials are there to grow us. They grow us. They grow our faith in God. I know me personally, some of the stuff that I've been through, it's grown me. The things that I've faced and I've conquered, it's grown me. I don't have to face those things anymore. Even when Satan tries to throw them at me, I'm like, I've already passed that level. You can't mess with me no more. You can't tempt me with drugs no more. You can't tempt me with alcohol no more because I'm past that. Not that I'm strong or anything, but I've known that when I trust in God that I'm past that. I'm never going back to those things. In our own power, all they could do is fight the wind and the waves. But as soon as Jesus got on the boat, the waves stopped. As soon as Jesus got on the boat, the waves stopped. The next point, I think I did 4 and 5 together. But 6, the last thing is, do you have Jesus in your boat? As soon as he got on the boat, the waves ceased. So there's a story 2 chapters back in Mark chapter 4. Let's turn there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. There is another story about them being on the sea again with Jesus. And this happens just 2 chapters before we see them again on the sea, again going through this storm. Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41, it says, as evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. So in chapter 6, we see they're facing the same thing that they had just faced 2 chapters before. And how many know that sometimes we face the same things that we faced 2 years before? Or we face the same thing that we should have conquered a long time ago? And the reason we face the same thing over and over is because we haven't defeated it yet. Sister Barbara was saying that the Israelites kept going around the mountain, because they didn't learn what they had to learn in their trial, in their wilderness. The wilderness is the place where God takes you from who you are and takes you to who you're going to be. He took the Israelites out of slavery, but he had to get the slavery out of the Israelites. He had to get that slave mentality out of them. And the disciples had already seen Jesus stop the wind and waves just 2 chapters before. And then we see him perform this miracle of feeding the 5,000. Jesus had just done these things. Sometimes I think the disciples just couldn't get it, right? You guys ever look at the disciples and like they just keep questioning and questioning. Jesus tells them, hey, let's go pray, and they fall asleep, right? Or Peter messed up all kinds, right? But eventually they got the Holy Spirit and they were able to get it, right? How many of us ever doubted God and he saves us, saves our family, delivers us from addiction, delivers us from a life of bondage? Even when we mess up, he still does it. Even when we keep messing up, he comes and he saves us and he restores us and he gives us another chance, right? There's this song that I've been listening to. It's by Andy Mineo and King's Kaleidoscope. And this is one of the lines, and it's one of my favorite lines of the song. And he's talking about how it came about his faith, and it came in a question. It says, if it all fell apart, would I trust in God? Or if it was all good, would I need him at all? And so I just want to say tonight, if it all fell apart, would you trust in God? When you're going through the storm, do you put your trust in God? Or when things are good, do you forget about him? That's what this song is saying. That's what that line is saying. And it doesn't matter if you just got saved or you've been saved for a long time. We need to still go after God and get his attention. We need to still seek God. Sometimes our problem isn't that we're going through a storm. It's that we focus on the storm. We have to stop focusing on the storm and start focusing on God. You could come to the keyboard. It's too many times we look at our storms and we look at what we're going through and we're like, God, how am I going to get through this? Or actually, we don't even say that. We just say, this is too hard. I can't do this. God, this is too hard. This storm's too big. I can't believe that my family's going through this. I can't believe I can't pay my bills. I can't believe that Satan has hit my vehicles and did all these things. Sometimes we look at the storm and we're like, this is too big. But instead of focusing on the storm, we should be focusing on Jesus. I mean, our storms are not bigger than our God. Our storms are not bigger than our God. And when we face trials or we face different things, we need to put our focus on Jesus. And when we put our focus on Jesus, it becomes easy. And we know that with my own power, I can't do anything. But with the power of the God Almighty, the creators of heaven and earth, the one who can heal blind people, the one that can feed 5,000, the one that can speak to the wind and the waves and they stop, I could do anything. The Bible says I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I could do all things. So when we start going through the storm and we start facing hard times and we start doing those things, we need to put our attention on God. We need to put our focus on God. I think so many times we try to focus on everything else. We leave God out of the picture. The last time you're sick, was your first call to God or was your first call to the doctor? We need to put our focus on God. Let's all stand here tonight. Maybe tonight you came here and maybe you're in the middle of a storm right now. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, this is too big. I can't do this. Maybe times are hard and you're struggling with your faith or you're struggling and you've tried to get God's attention and you tried to do it. But you just seem like no matter what you do, you're hitting a brick wall. Tonight, we need to go after God like I said in that opening scripture. When we seek him with all of our heart, that's when we're going to find him. I believe too many times we seek him just a little bit, or we seek him just to say that we showed up. We need to seek God with everything that we have. Come on, close your eyes tonight. Everybody close your eyes tonight. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray and then we're going to open these altars. But tonight, if you're facing something, if you're going through a storm or you're facing a trial or you're going through something that's hard, put your focus on God. Take your focus off of what you're going through and put your focus on God. God wants to use this storm to grow you. Instead of asking, why am I going through this? Ask God, what are you trying to show me through this? God, what are you trying to teach me through this? God, how are you trying to grow me through this situation? Father God, I pray, God, tonight, God, as we open these altars, God, that the word that you gave me, God, that would be, that you had me speak tonight, God, would just minister to somebody tonight, God. I pray, God, those who are in their seats right now and they're going through something, God, don't let them go through that alone. Let them seek you in this time, God. Let them reach out, God. Let them climb that tree. Get your attention, God. Go all out after you, God. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. Come on, as we sing this song, these altars are open. Let's come up to these altars and let's seek God. Let's seek him with all that we have. Let's say, God, I need you tonight. I need you to help me in this situation. I need you to help me, God, through this trial.